Hello, I'm Herb Warble, Editor-in-Chief of Engineered Systems, and welcome to the Percussive Maintenance Podcast, where we examine the who, what, why, and how of the comfort engineering industry. Key performance indicators offer engineering firms the ability to analyze the performance of their firms. But what KPIs should you be using, and how can that data best be assembled? Well, you've come to the right place, because in this episode, we welcome in Stephen Burns, Chief Creative Officer of BQE Software, who will share the analytics behind key performance indicators and how your firm can capitalize on the collection and organization of such data.
Sure thing. Well, I'm a licensed architect, a member of the College of Fellows of the AIA, and my career actually spans over four decades. For the last 10 years, I've been Chief Creative Officer at BQE Software. Prior to that, I was Chief of Product Strategies and Innovations for like 3 years. But I think I need to add a little something, because it's some people are puzzled by the fact that I ended up in the software business. I'm an architect. What are you doing in software? And so Herb, indulge me for just a minute, just to give you a backstory, because I think it's really important for any AE firm owner or anyone planning to open a firm to kind of understand this. So I received my Master of Architecture degree from Harvard Graduate School of Design, the GSD, and I started working at SOM, Skidmore, Owings & Merrill in Chicago. And I can't stress enough what an extraordinary experience it was for me as a young architect to be around such a well-run company. I was able to spend a year in their London office. Eventually, I opened an office for SOM in Berlin back in 1992. We kept that office for 2 years. While we worked on projects in the newly unified Germany. So I had these 7 years of an incredible experience at SOM before I launched my own firm in Chicago, BBA Architects. In the first year, it was just really two of us, my partner and I. We had a lot of fun just playing architecture, and we weren't really running the business per se. And as the work started to come in, we found ourselves hiring some staff, and that's when I stopped having fun as an architect. And I realized that there was a real responsibility to manage a practice, and that's something that had to be reckoned with. Now, when I worked at SOM, I was really shielded from all the back office responsibilities and kind of luxuriated in just being able to practice architecture, do design. That's what we were, you know, born to do, what I love to do. And learning how to run a business, it was never really part of what we learned while we were in school. And I suspect maybe for a lot of engineers as well, there weren't business courses that I know many people were given. Maybe one semester was something that they might have had to touch on it. So I was really confronted with the E-myth, which Michael Gerber made famous in his series of books, that running a business is very different than just providing professional services. And I read as many books as possible that I can get my hands on. And I had an epiphany. So I believe that good design, it's the solution to all problems. And so I naively set out to design and build software that would take away all the pain from me as a business owner and leave me with more free time to do what I love. So that took me on a 3-year obsession. I'll kind of cut the story short here for you. But eventually I had built a product. It was called ArchiOffice, and I was compelled to turn it into a commercial product by some people who thought it was a phenomenal thing. And I released in 2004 two products, ArchiOffice and EngineerOffice. These were software solutions, desktop applications to help small and mid-sized firms manage their business. We launched that in June of 2004. Within 2 years, we had over 500 firms using it, and I had a real tiger by the tail, and I had to decide what to do. So I had had my firm for 14 years, BBA, and I decided I would sell my ownership of the firm to two of our junior partners, and I would head out full-time as a software developer. And so we had 17 architects on staff. I left that behind me and woke up one morning in the software business. Now, it was 3 years later that I actually met a structural engineer named Shafat Kazi, and we merged our companies together into BQE Software, where we have about 250 employees today. We serve over 4,000 firms. So I should also point out, because I think we're going to get to it a little bit later, but we had these desktop applications that we were really proud of, and we thought they really solved pain points. But we had started to realize back in 2013 that the world of desktop applications was declining, and we needed to be on the forefront of a cloud-based service, you know, software as a service. And we spent 5 years building the BQE core platform, which is sort of the keystone of our company today. So our objective at BQE is to help AE firms of any size, from sole proprietor to multiple offices with hundreds of employees, to basically efficiently manage their business, their projects, and their people by simplifying and consolidating anything to do with business into a single platform. So when you do this, software is able to provide some amazing business intelligence that enables firms to be smarter and more profitable. So that's my long-winded answer to what should have been five sentences for you.
Oh, no worries. It's quite a background. I can't imagine there are many software engineers with that kind of an architectural or engineering background. So kudos to you and the expertise that you are bringing to the industry. Now, Steve, we were first introduced to BQE software through a webinar that we conducted with your company in October of 22. In that webinar, you examined the importance of key performance indicators, or KPIs. You note that projects are some of the most important aspects of an engineering business. So generally speaking, how do we ensure that those projects are healthy, and not only that they are healthy, but they remain that way over time?
Yeah. So it's not surprising, by the way, when it comes to profitability, that engineers are a lot better on average than architects, according to our surveys. And some of that might be the difference in the nature of the business, the two professions. Architecture projects tend to last 2 to 3 years on average, and a lot can go wrong in that time. We have a lot of engineering firms that have very fast turnarounds on their projects, and they don't have as much road to travel, so things can't go off the rails as much. I guess I just mixed two metaphors with that one, but you kind of get the point there. In either case, really, my thesis applies. Firms can only be profitable when projects are profitable. And the more you can invest in making a project profitable, that's all going to roll up and make your firm more profitable. And there's really no magic to what needs to happen. The most fundamental piece of information in any firm is to know where people spend their time and how that converts into revenue. Most AE professionals really grumble about time tracking, you know, filling out that horrible time card thing, right? They think it's like interfering with the normal practice, you know, the production of their work. And a lot of firms think that if they don't bill hourly, there's really no reason to track your time. And a lot of employees don't understand the significance of time tracking, so they're kind of sloppy about it. You know, they might wait until a Friday and then try to remember what they did, you know, earlier in the week, or worse yet, they wait till a Monday and some office manager runs around with a whip and says, hey, hand in your time cards. I mean, I don't remember how much time I spent having lunch yesterday or even what I ate yesterday, no less ask me to tell you what I did with any kind of sense of accuracy. And what you end up with over time is a database filled with bad information. So we've really found firms that migrate from their old spreadsheet systems and, you know, Excel spreadsheets, whatever they might be, to our databases, is their past understanding of what they were doing in the past is highly skewed by the amount of time that it takes for people to track their time. And so there's really two very simple things that we believe firms need to do, and our software handles this, which is track your time as accurately as possible based on, you know, what projects, what phases of projects, and what activities you work on. And the system can correlate that with what eventually is billed onto the client and connect the dots. It's a phenomenal piece of business intelligence that goes on in the background. And there's a lot of information that we derive, which I share in the KPI webinar as well. So that's a lot of words to say. If you want healthy projects, budget your projects, allocate your staff to the various phases and our activities, and then have them track their time. And when you use software to monitor that in real time, you have real great information to help you just manage your progress, ensure that the time being spent is actually contributing to your earned value.
Right. As you said, it's more than just showing up. I mean, we got to take a look at what people are doing, how they're spending that time, and the results that come from it. I sort of liken it to analytics in baseball. Back in the olden days, baseball used to just be throw the ball, hit the ball, but it's much, much deeper than that now. And I think that's sort of what you guys are doing with engineering as well. So before we dive too much deeper, I want to really take a step back and just take a look at what KPIs are in general. And then sort of just give an overview on why they're so important. I mean, obviously, you've already kind of ripped the top layer off a little bit, but dig into what KPIs are and why we should be using them as engineering firms.
You know, any firm, you know, not just an engineering, a key performance indicator, it's just a tool for a firm to be apprised of information that is meaningful to them. And in some of my webinars, I talk about some of the most common KPIs, you know, things like utilization and realization, earn value, profitability, but every firm can have their own metrics and, you know, things that are meaningful to them. For example, maybe your firm recognizes the significance of marketing and you have an entire set of KPIs to help you understand if your marketing objectives are being met. You'll have a KPI for the number of prospects that you contacted during the month or the quarter, the number of RFPs or RFQs that were received and responded. You'll have KPIs regarding upcoming opportunities, probabilities, and potential revenue. So KPIs don't always just come to, like, you know, profitability. They could measure happiness, right? There are firms that we know of who actually want to gauge the happiness of their clients, and they measure that through things like a net promoter score, or happiness of their employees, which they can gather get through employee surveys or even employee performance reviews, and specifically asking those questions. So a KPI can mean a lot of different things for different firms, and they'll tell you based on what your objectives are you on target? Now, I've done webinars as well on business plans and strategic plans, and those are really nice things that every firm should do. I always encourage firms to do a strategic plan annually. But ultimately, what you need to do with those is you need to create a financial budget. The budget is critical because it's the tool that will allow you to make all those hopes and dreams that you have in a plan become manifest. So most things have a cost. And if you plan to increase that marketing, like we were just talking about, you're going to have to increase your marketing spend. And the KPI will tell you if you are on target.
Right. There's a lot of data out there, though, right? Even in the marketing realm, it's reads, it's clicks, it's how much money you spent, return on investment. And that data is available in all different fields. So how do we differentiate good data from bad data, or good KPIs from bad KPIs? And is it really beauty is the eye of the beholder? Like, who decides what's good and what's bad?
Yeah, I do. No, I'm just kidding. Again, different firms with different cultures have different KPIs that are meaningful to them and their team. So I don't think there are certain business KPIs, clearly profitability, you know, at the project level, at the firm level, at the phase level. These could be important to understand for a variety of reasons, but it doesn't demean a KPI that one firm thinks is important and another firm doesn't, so they just don't bother tracking it. My basic premise is don't go ahead and track anything if it's not going to change your behavior. Simply effectiveness means it's producing the desired result, or at least it's fulfilling its specified functions, even if the result is suboptimal. So all of it comes down to truth in data. As I mentioned earlier, if your KPI is for, let's say, a utilization rate, and in itself, it's kind of an effective thing to know about. Like, my employees fill out their time card and they're like 95% utilized, and that might feel like that's an effective metric for me. My point earlier was that, first of all, your software needs to be able to ensure that that actually is their rate, because if they're putting it in a week late, it's probably not correct. But that KPI, you might think is an effective KPI, but I've heard so many firms tell me, I got these employees 95% utilized, so I feel really good about it. Every time I look it over at the person at their desk, they got their CAD software open, they got their nose to the screen, they're working really hard, they're highly utilized. But I find the realization rate KPI is a far more effective KPI because it connected the dots between all those hours that employees spent with their CAD software open to what eventually was earned by the company, okay? Which is it's almost impossible to calculate that without software, right? So that's the sort of business intelligence where it's looking at everybody who spent any time working during any billing period and what eventually was invoiced onto the client and connects everybody's share of that invoice. It's a pretty phenomenal thing. So the effectiveness of a utilization rate, I mean, what does it tell you? It just means we don't have enough work in the office, or somebody doesn't have enough work, or maybe somebody's overworked. That, to me, isn't as meaningful as when they finally do get work. Is that helping the bottom line in the firm?
Right. So even a quote unquote ineffective KPI can be effective as long as it shows you something, as long as you're learning something, right?
Well, again, don't get the report, don't get the KPI if it's not going to change your behavior. A lot of people just look at this and they nod and they go back to business as usual. They don't change their behaviors. So if you find that you're not profitable, because you're probably going to spend less money only because you don't have enough cash to spend, right? So your behavior is being changed because you have no ability to spend money you don't have, unless I guess you want to go into debt. But when you hear an employee has a realization rate of $118 an hour, when you have an expected bill rate of them $150 an hour, what are you going to do, right? It might be training. It might be training for the employee. It might be training for their manager. You have to dig into what's driving that bad result, right? It's either bad data or bad management, bad negotiated contract. There's a variety of things, but do something about it rather than just going, okay, because most people just keep going and they just, it's like Groundhog Day with them. They keep doing the same bad behavior.
Well, let's have you jump into the DeLorean real quick, go back in time, knowing what you know now, of course, and take a look at the mechanical engineering or the architectural side of things. And if you had to pick a KPI or two or three to really focus in on, which do you believe are the most important?
I think earned value is the most compelling KPI in existence. It can tell you how a project is performing in terms of its budget and its schedule. It can inform management about what resources are required to complete that project. It's displayed on a timeline where you can see what your project plan is and overlaid with what's actually happening, so you can see that differential. It's a really robust and informative KPI. Not a lot of software programs will get that. We give it to you. There's, you know, a couple in the marketplace that can give you that earned value. But if management hasn't created a schedule and a budget, you're not going to be able to have that. So if your firm is just sloppy, you get a signed contract and you just dive in and do the work without putting together a plan, you're not going to be able to get the earned value. The second one I mentioned earlier, which is realization. I didn't really understand when I had my firm, we never tracked realization. And I wished I had known about realization back then in my DeLorean. It's the notion that revenue can only be recognized once the service has been delivered and earned. It's a very difficult KPI to track without software like BQE Core. It has the ability to track all of your labor, who is doing the work, what they cost the firm, and eventually what they earn when the client is invoiced. And it's always fun for me to see firms that implement Core and they import their historical data, and then they have their eyes open to what the actual revenue that each employee brings and how it, you know, it looks when you average it out on a per hourly basis. It's like how we all kind of reacted once our car's dashboard started to report what our average miles per hour or miles per gallon were, I mean, right? You know, once you started to see what the fuel consumption is, you know, was it a hog or was it really a highly efficient car? Then you started thinking, maybe I need to get a different car if it was a hog, right? Well, maybe there's an employee that you might need to swap out. So the realization rate is terrific. The last one I should just mention, Herb, is a project cost multiplier. Again, that's an incredibly hard metric to track with any sense of accuracy without some software. It provides your firm with a profit margin for every project, but it has the kind of added benefit of being able to see profit at the margin at the phase level. So this is interesting because firms can start to learn about which phases of work they tend to perform more or less profitably than others. It's a kind of KPI that can also help a firm reconsider their contracts. Just as an example, if your firm does contract administration or maybe construction administration, if that's what you want to call it, you might realize that that's your least profitable phase of work. Typically, some firms will have fixed fee arrangements and the owner selects a builder that might be subpar. And so you're filling in a lot of the gaps there. So many firms will start seeing that data come alive and then they'll go, well, I'm going to start moving my CA work to an hourly basis because at least that has a built-in profit margin in it rather than having it eat away at all the profit that we earned earlier in our design. So that's my DeLorean gave me those three KPIs.
Fantastic. Steve, let's say I'm an owner and I've recently implemented CORE. And as you mentioned, my eyes have been open to all these different things that are going on that I didn't know. Let's review my baseball analogy again. I have this wonderful pitcher who I thought was great, but once I dig into the data that's now available to me, he's just not hitting the strike zone as much as I once thought. So as an owner with all this data, what should I do with that? Should I share that with my team, even knowing that this may have a detrimental result on some of our team members, or should I keep it close to the vest?
Yeah, there are a lot of firms that we encounter that are kind of afraid to share KPIs. Here, by the way, at BQE Software, we let every employee know all the KPIs that our company is monitoring. We share with them our performance on a quarterly basis. And when you have KPIs that are relevant to an individual, like, again, utilization rate, maybe even realization rate, giving them access to real-time results means not only that they understand what is important to the firm, but they see how they are contributing, and they might even change their own behaviors rather than a manager having to monitor them, because everybody wants to be the, you know, MVP, right? So there are a lot of benefits to sharing KPIs. I can't think of a single negative one, to be honest with you. Firms believe it is, but there are some firms who are afraid to share, let's say, profitability, because they think either a highly profitable firm or a poorly profitable, low profit firm or a negative profit firm is going to result in some sort of negative behavior from an employee if they find this out. Like if a firm, they're working on projects that are not profitable, they might look for work elsewhere. You know, they think they're going to get better bonuses. Or if they find out the firm's really profitable, they don't feel like they're being compensated well. These are unfounded concerns. When people know the truth, they really want to help. They will really want to help become the winner. And I can't think of a single time where I saw a firm share KPIs that it backfired on a firm. It's just the myth that owners might have about their firm and not wanting to share, you know, that they're afraid of the unknown.
Yeah. Really would serve as a motivator in my eyes. Steve, we've talked a lot about the BQE CORE product, but I just want to give you an opportunity to really dig a little deeper into that. Obviously, it does a lot more than just manage KPIs. Can you sort of introduce us to that and let engineers who are on this broadcast know why maybe they should take a little bit of a deeper dive into that?
Yeah, I think the sort of minimum use of our software is a firm that needs to track, that should be tracking time, which again, I think every firm has to do this regardless of what they believe. They tracking your time will lead to all the results we talked about earlier and billing your clients. So time and billing is sort of the foundation of the CORE platform. We have a lot of other functionality, for example, you know, quality control. So for every phase of a project, you know, what tasks need to be achieved? Are they assigned? Who are they assigned? Have they been completed? Sort of a, you know, a checklist system, if you will, managing your documents on a project, all the communications, human resources module, a client relationship management module, a CRM module for tracking prospects and leads and opportunities and creating proposals and keeping all of your product literature and email templates so that you could communicate with clients. That's all there as well. A lot of analytics. My favorite kind of functionality from the platform is the scheduled reports system, which is there's a good number of people in your company who need to know information. And most firms behave by having some office overhead employee gather information, produce reports, and then distribute them to people once every week or 2 weeks, whatever it might be. The system understands which people need which reports and schedules it. So Monday mornings at 9 a.m., certain reports are issued to certain people automatically. Or Friday afternoons, the principals get, you know, the summary of client payments for the week and what's the accounts receivable, maybe a P&L statement. But no one needs to actually generate reports because the database, the system understands all the data, does its analytics, creates the reports however they want them to appear, and distributes them to the people on the day of the week and the time of the day that's most helpful to that individual. I mean, just imagine having somebody leave a report on my desk on a Monday morning where I'm trying to put out fires. I'm not going to look at it till Friday. And by then, it's a whole nother week late. So basically, we look at all the back office accounting functions. It's a full accounting software program, integrates with, you know, other cloud accounting systems out there, including, you know, keeping track of your bank account and credit card accounts and, you know, 401k accounts. All that can flow into the portal. Also gives you this this notion of what we call zero touch accounting, which means, for example, the system can electronically invoice your client. They can electronically pay it. The system will notify you. The client paid the bill. The money transaction moves into your account. Auto reconciliation happens. So accounting happens without anybody touching it when you take advantage of these new kinds of technologies.
Steve, let's say I'm an old school owner, or maybe I just don't have a lot of manpower in my firm. Maybe I'm just frightened by this whole idea of all this data. Is BQE Core easy to implement? Should I just go out and give it a try?
Well, I will say, I mean, easy depends on what your expectations are out of the software. So some firms feel compelled to import all historical data. You know, I got 20 years of history in my firm. Let's import all of that. And that could be pretty time consuming on our team to get the data, make sure it's a good condition, normalized it, you know, you normalize the data over 20 years. You track things differently 15 years ago than you did today. And get that imported. So some firms will find that the time to implement the product could take a lot longer if they're trying to bring in huge amounts of history. I generally think, you know, certainly bring in all your active projects at the minimum, and that can get you up and running, you know, in 30 days. I mean, in the long end, you should look at a 60-day time period from when you pull the trigger to say, oh, I've looked at the core platform, the BQE core platform looks very promising and good for my company. Let's go. And 30 days to 60 days before your entire team is up and running and using the software as it was intended. You may not be using, you know, all the functionality. You may not be using the HR module or the CRM module, or, you know, project templates might be something you address in the future, but at least it's up and running from a time and billing standpoint, which, as I said, is the minimum you should be using the software for.
Steve, your passion just glows off the screen. I could tell that you could talk about this topic all day long, but we got to try to tie this up in a way. So we've covered quite a bit, but while we have you, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I just should mention that there's we're now living in a time where people work remotely, and we do have a mobile app, a native mobile app for iOS and Android users. And I love to do demonstrations of the core platform on the mobile app, and I prefer using it over the web app just because there's some instruments on my mobile phone that like blow my mind. You know, for example, just as an example, the sensor on my phone notices I'm accelerating at a pace that's faster than my bike. I'm in a car. So it will take a geocode and it will notice when I started traveling in a car and when I ended that trip, where I started in the geocode and where I ended, and it will automatically look to see if there's a project linked to those geocodes. If it finds it was a client's office and the client has an active project, it's going to recommend that 12 miles of chart of car travel should be billed to that project. Or it notices I was at the site for 2 hours and 12 minutes. It will recommend that my time be added to my time card. And that's artificial intelligence at work on the mobile app that I just find really kind of stunning. The last thing I would just, you know, the mobile app is huge. So when your listeners go out to look at a platform to implement in their firm, it is an investment of money and time, and it's a big commitment for the future, is make sure that you're working with technologies that have native mobile apps, because we are more and more mobile than we ever envisioned. And is software as a service, which means that it's a technology that is constantly changing as technology improves. The software is being updated to keep pace with that. So that's probably the last thing I would want to offer people to think about.
Well, thank you so much, Steve. It's been an absolute pleasure to spend some time with you. If those tuning in are interested in connecting with you or BQE Software, where should they turn?
Well, always go to bqe.com, our website. There's good links there if you want to get a demo or, you know, trial, or talk to one of our product specialists about your own particular situation. You can always reach me at Burns, B-U-R-N-S, burns@bqe.com. Love talking to other AE professionals about running their firms and what hearing their issues. So either way is good for me or her.
Well, Steve, thanks again. Thanks for sharing your expertise and your knowledge with us. And we hope to catch up again with you very soon. Take care.
Take care. Thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed our conversation with Stephen Burns. And to connect with him or BQE Software, visit www.bqe.com. The Percussive Maintenance Podcast is now available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Show your support for industry journalism by rating and reviewing this podcast. Doing so will help us reach a much broader audience. Also, please subscribe or bookmark us so that you can enjoy all of our past and future episodes. Finally, make sure you visit Engineered Systems' website at www.esmagazine.com for the latest and greatest industry news, announcements, articles, and much more. We appreciate your continued support. And remember, if you can't fix it with your brain, you can always rely on a swift kick. We'll see you next time.